Okay, so I want to welcome everyone to another Black Wallets Matter Town Hall meeting. If you notice when you guys called in, I asked for your name and I addressed you as brother or sister, and we addressed each other as brother and sister out of respect and out of a show of solidarity. During these town hall meetings, we do not discuss religion. We do not discuss the black male and female dynamic, and we don't discuss political party affiliation. And the reason why is so because those are all opinion-based topics, and we would be here forever going around and around in a circle arguing. We can discuss politics as it pertains to black people in America and how we can use it to improve our current situation. But again, like I said, we don't want to get into who did what and who didn't do what. For all the guests on the line, and we do have a few, Black Wallets Matter is a movement that is comprised of brothers and sisters that believe the only way we're going to fix the problems in the black community is if we do it ourselves and we start using the power of the black dollars that we already have. It's estimated we spent about $1.3 trillion last year. So we are looking to practice group economics to have a major impact on the black community. Now, when I say the power of our black dollars, it does not necessarily mean spending in every case. That also means boycotting. So that means withholding our dollars from businesses and entities that do not support our views or do not have our best intentions in mind. With our black dollars, this organization, we intend to fund our own social projects, like building community resource centers that will provide educational and occupational training to our brothers and sisters in at-risk and in-need communities. And we want to provide a safe place for our youth to go instead of hanging out on the street. Primarily, the money that we collect from membership dues, that money will be used to purchase large-scale businesses such as manufacturing and maybe like grocery chains and supermarkets and things like that so that we can put hundreds and possibly even thousands of our brothers and sisters to work. The profits from those enterprises will be used to fund our social projects, which, like I just mentioned, the community resource and the training centers, right? So basically helping people learn trades and, you know, get involved in the transportation industry and these other types of industries that need a lot of people to work and, you know, they have good paying jobs. And then another portion of the profits will be used to hire lawyers and lobbyists in Washington to protect and enforce our civil rights. As we are all aware, we have a serious problem in this country right now with police violence, police brutality, and, you know, our brothers and sisters being killed, officers getting off. There's a law on the books called the Enforcement Act of 1870, and it was created to protect us in situations when dealing with law enforcement. It was used effectively back in the day, but, you know, through time and, you know, manipulation, the law has kind of been, like, swept under the rug. And so we need to have, you know, someone go in and dig it back out and use it the proper way that it needs to be used. So again, like I said, Black Wallets Matter, we are a member association. One of the biggest problems, so most of you have come through and, you know, took a survey, you know, when it asks you, what do you think is some of the biggest problems in the black community? About 60% of the people say that the biggest problem we have is a lack of unity. And so that's why we are forming this member association, so that we can all learn to work together, even if we have opposing opinions about certain things. If we're able to all acknowledge the fact that, yes, we are black or people of color and we have a problem in our community and we want to do something about it, as far as I'm concerned, that is enough. I wanted to bring a topic to the floor briefly, basically saying that black people need to learn how to argue. We need to learn how to argue and have disagreements and not try to, like, burn the house down, though, right? You know, and not kill each other when the argument is over. So maybe we'll touch on that briefly. Our current campaign, so our goal of the goal of this organization is to get 1 million members over the next 3 to 5 years. Some of you may have saw the blueprint, and then others of you may have seen a segment of the blueprint where I talk about how membership dues from 1 million members, how it could equate to somewhere in the neighborhood of $336 million. So that's where we would be able to go out and buy like whole supermarket chains. Because if you have $336 million, you are able to get a $1 or $2 billion loan. Sister Bonnie has been digging for black banks and, you know, and black credit unions and things like that. So once we amass that type of money, we definitely want to work with a black institution so that they could provide us more leverage or at least understand what our goal is. Our current campaign is for 2,000 founding members. And the reason we need 2,000 founding members is so that we can create our first proof element to the black community. So we all know how our people are. They're a little skittish, they're a little skeptical about things until they see the ball rolling. We have a lot of guests on, and that is from our marketing efforts and the things that we have been doing these past few weeks or whatever. But for those of us who were there at the very beginning, they can attest to how this snowball has grown. So for everyone here who is not a member, right, we consider you guys guests. You are witnessing, like, the growth, and you are witnessing black people come together and unifying. And so what we want to do is create our first business. It was going to be a shopping portal, but we weren't able to get in as many members as fast as we thought we would. So we are looking to use the current membership base we have right now, which is about 130 some odd people, and we were going to use those funds to create an intermediary business, which is tentatively called the Black Wall Street Project. Everyone knows, about rebuilding Black Wall Street. Everyone knows how important that was to us as a people, to our culture, to our history. It was an area in Tulsa, Oklahoma, where brothers and sisters worked together. We had our own economy, our own ecosystem, where we supported one another. And that is what we are trying to recreate. Some of the pitfalls that happen, by Black Wall Street being in a specific location and in close proximity to, you know, the white citizens of that part of Tulsa, Oklahoma, kind of made it, you know, susceptible to destruction. This new concept that we are envisioning will be decentralized, which is the reason why this organization is set up the way that it is. It's nationwide. And it's decentralized, so there's really no head, no one person to target. There's really no way to destroy it. Once we all embody the movement, once we all embody the spirit, we are going to carry it in our local areas, and it becomes infectious. And that is going to allow us to build and keep this movement going. So the Black Wall Street Project will teach our brothers and sisters the importance of financial literacy. And then we will start with Business Basics 101. For those who already have businesses, I am a business owner of 20 some odd years. For those who have businesses and want to promote their business online or, you know, need help with other things, we're going to help them with that. We will give them access to, so right now we have 5,000 people on our email list. They will have access to, showcase their business. And we're going to create a business directory in regards to that. So if you're on the call and you are a guest, if you like if you like the way that this town hall meeting turns out, and you believe in this mission, then I would like to ask you to go sign up, become a member. Memberships start at $10 at the silver level, $25 at the $25 for the gold level, and $50 at the platinum level. And if anyone has any questions in regards to that, to the town hall, to the membership dues and how this thing is structured and organized. I will open it up for Q&A now, but this is not the topic for tonight's discussion, just so everyone knows. This is just because we have a lot of guests on the call, and maybe some of you guys haven't watched the blueprint, and you know maybe you're just curious to know a little bit more, you know, how we're operating and what this is about. I'm going to put it in Q&A mode, so if you have any questions in regards to the association, how it's set up, what we're about, or anything like that, then press star 6 on your phone. We have a few people who I haven't been able to tag. Brother Brandon, I see you. Okay, and we have a caller from 204. Caller from 202, caller 202702, could you please press star 6 so that I can tag you? And then caller from 616773. I think that is Brother William, if I'm not mistaken. But could you press star 6 as well? I just want to be able to tag you. All right, so Brother Brandon, you're in the queue. I'll unmute your phone now. Yes, brother. Brother Brandon? Hello?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me all right?
Yes, I can.
Yes, sir. So I was wondering, whenever we're all putting our money towards the goals, how is that, I guess, protected and or regulated or monitored?
Okay, so, all right, good question. So we are a B corporation. This is not a nonprofit organization. We are setting up as a B corporation, which is a benefit corporation. So what benefit corporations can do is they generate revenue, generate profits, and then before it's taxed, that money is able to go out to the particular organization or to the particular social group that it says it's going to benefit. Currently, with the 130 members that we have, we do not meet the qualifications for the B Corp situation because we do not have the revenue. And I am basically subsidizing everything from my own pocket. Once we meet the revenue requirements for the B Corp, for the B Corp certification, then we will be able to receive our charter, and then we will invest in our first business. Well, actually, we're going to invest in the first business either way. So,
okay.
It's just held in a traditional bank account currently, but so it's not a corporate account because we want to do a B Corp. We don't want this to be it's not going to be an S or a C Corp. The other thing that I was advised from lawyers and my accountant when setting this up, because of the nature of what we're doing, we kind of want to stay under the radar until we're able to roll with some force, basically, right?
Right.
So as of right now, we are really in like recruitment mode and designation as a social movement. And we would have to register as a social club, and then that's not what our overall goal is. That's not what our overall objective is. So, we're at kind of like the beginning stages. For those who are actually members who sign up, everyone, so you get like my personal phone, you get my personal phone number. We go through some of the numbers that we use for our marketing. So our marketing is we're in a range of $5,000-$6,000 or whatever. We're doing really good, we have really good reach or whatever, but our revenues are not covering those expenses. It's not covering like the hosting expenses, it's not covering some of the things in terms of like the email, that database and sending and all of that. So I'm just basically coming out of my pocket to cover all of that. Until we're able to, until the association meets the requirement.
Right.
All right, brother.
Okay. Thank you, Brother Lou.
Yep. Okay. Caller 240. Let me tag you. Caller from 240.
Erica. Yes. This is Sister Rhonda.
Hey, sister. Hold on, sister. Let me tag you. Let me tag you real quick. Hold on. Sister Rhonda. Okay. Okay, sister.
Listen, I must apologize for not getting back for a few weeks. I've just had some things going on. My question is in regards to the membership. I would like to know if you have a physical address where you can send something in right now like that instead of doing it online, because I've had issues with online as far as I'm concerned. I'm not, maybe that might be, maybe other people might have had it or not, but I've had identity theft, and I'm just really, I've had issues with online for right now.
Okay, so you're about the second person who asked that. We do have a physical address for you.
Okay.
But still, now the thing about it, when you do that way, right? It's a monthly thing. We don't want to start running around chasing people for their membership.
Exactly.
So, if you're in, you're in. If you want to send it, you can send it. But that's basically where we are with that. So I'll call you, I guess, behind the scenes. Or actually, you can look at the bottom of your email that I sent you, and there's an address there, and you can do that.
I saw it.
Right. So you can do that. But again, like I said, what you can do is you can get a prepaid debit card if that's really your concern. Our encryption, we have our own merchant account. And the way that it's set up, it's like double blind, right? So I never see anyone's credit card information. The credit card information actually never really hits our servers. It's encrypted when it goes to the credit card processor. And even the credit card company doesn't get the numbers. It goes directly to your bank. So we have a really strong encryption service. And then also it does verification, has multi-point verification when you're signing up. So it checks the address and the zip code and make sure that lines up. And then there's other, some other fraud detection things that I don't
exactly
want to go into.
I understand. But, I know. Don't.
Okay,
don't.
Right,
don't. Don't.
Right, yeah,
I understand.
Right,
I
right,
got
sister?
You. But I'm just
right
saying, for me, I've had problems, and I just want to know.
All right. So we'll work it out, sister. We'll work it out.
Okay. All right.
All right.
Good.
Okay.
Good.
That's no problem. All right, Brother Lydell. Brother Lydell.
Hello.
Yes.
I have
hey
a question in regards to the membership, which was already answered. But I guess I wanted to ask, is there merchandising kind of promoting the Black Wallet Matters?
No. All right. So it's good you said that. I was speaking with the sister. She became a member yesterday, and we were talking about merchandising and setting things up. It's taking a process. But currently, we do not have any merchandise representing Black Wallets Matter, but that is definitely in the pipeline. And the reason is because we have broad reach now. You can see from the amount of new people, the new guests that are on, we are definitely getting the messages out there. And so once we get a little bit more notoriety, I guess would be the thing, we would have merchandise and things. And that would also become business of one of the business efforts of Black Wallets Matter. Also for everyone, so when I mentioned the Black Wall Street Project, so anyone that's currently a member now, you will have access to all of the information, all of the training, any other benefits associated with the Black Wall Street Project. But once it goes live, it's going to be at a higher price point. It's going to be a different structure. But so I just want to let anyone know, so if you were on the fence, you were thinking about it, if anyone has business experience or some things that they want to share with the community, you guys are all welcome to contact me and contribute to the overall development of the course, because that's basically what it is. It's going to be like a course that takes people from different stages. And then there will be another stage where there would be another stage where we actually go into different business models and different things that you could actually do. So, you know, that's something else that I wanted to share when you're saying, like, merchandising, because that will become a product of Black Wallace Pattern. All right, brother?
All right. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Sister Ange, how you doing? Hello? Sister?
Yes.
Yes? All right.
I actually had a question about PayPal. So do you guys have an account set up through PayPal where we can pay through PayPal?
So I have a personal PayPal account, but Black Wallace Matter does not. And the reason why is because our credit card processing fee is actually cheaper than what PayPal does. And then PayPal kind of frowns upon taking money for like these types of things, unless we do like a donation or something like that. You're probably maybe the second person who asked for it. If that's something that works for you, I guess I could try to make some type of arrangements for you for it. You know, but like I said, Black Wallace Matter itself actually doesn't, because I work so hard to keep this thing isolated from everything else, from my personal business and, you know, my personal thing. If that
okay.
makes sense. Right.
Yeah.
So if that's an option, so I don't, you know, so if you, so I'll, if I set up the thing, it will come from Brainwave Media. Brainwave Media is my digital agency. It's my development company. That does the marketing and things like that. So when I send you the link, or if that's what you want to do, you know, just look for that, and, you know, so that way you're not alone. All right?
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Brother Marcus. Yes, Brother Marcus. Brother Marcus?
Okay, yeah. My question is just this. You know, I'm just joining the program, and I hear and understand everything that you're saying, and it's things that I've been talking about is that this is what needs to happen in the Black community to get us to where we need to be. It's just that I didn't have the means and everything to get this stuff started, and I'm looking at your program, and I see that it's something that. Once this started and we get enough people involved and enough average people involved, because that's where it's going to start in our community. It's not going to start with the celebrities and things like that. It's going to start in our community. And
right.
I understand that that's where it has to start. But is there a way for us to track and see that this program is working or starting to work? Because I know it's going to – I know this is a you know, before you see the fruition of this, it's going to start 3 to 5 years from now. You know what I'm saying?
Right. So that's cool, right? So we were thinking doing it sort of like the GoFundMe thing. But again, you know, from the advice that I had, because of the nature of what we're doing, it's like, all right, you know, do you want this to be like, do you want this to be out there? So we're treading a fine line. That's why we're doing initiatives like the Black Wall Street Project and these other things. These are things that actually require more money than the membership currently is taking in. And so our model is going to be more, we already have the proof. You buy something from us, you buy something from Black Wallets Matter, you buy something from the Black Wall Street Project, and then, you know, later on you're like, oh, okay, cool, well, that's part of the business of that. So if you understand what I'm saying, we're trying to put the business before the cart. You understand what I'm saying? So while we have small numbers and we don't have the money, we're trying to put something larger there so that people can say, okay, cool, well, I got my money's worth. Because we're always going to have that problem. People are always going to say, well, where's my money going, or where is this? We're saying you put your money and this is what you got. So you don't even have to, so you don't feel like, so we don't have a Umar type situation where people gave money and then they're like, well, where's the school? You understand what I'm saying? We're trying to prevent that from happening.
Yeah, I think my main question is, I don't have a problem believing in the system, and this is what has to happen to work. You know, everybody has to put in a certain faith to get it started. I think I'm trying to ask of how can I explain to other people to get them started, get them to invest in the same aspect that I'm investing.
Well, okay, so the people who are at the beginning of this is a conversation that we've had for the past couple of weeks, a few weeks back, right? So we were saying, how do we get more of our brothers and sisters to open their eyes or to understand? To be honest with you, brother, that is very hard. It's going to be very hard, and we're asking people to more or less take a leap of faith and believe in the potential of what's going on. I was on the phone with a sister earlier today, and I told her that if we have to hard sell people on the benefit of our own people, then they don't want it. You understand what I'm saying? They don't want it. So we have the
concept where we're at, though, brother. Right.
I understand that. So that's why I'm saying we'll put forth other things. So we know people want to learn how to, you know, we know people want to learn how to start businesses. We know people want to learn how to make money. We know people want to network. We know people want to party. We know people wear T-shirts. We know people, you know, do all these other different things. So Black Wallets Matter will put those things out there. It will allow them. So now you don't have to sell this guy on the potential of what, you know, of the Black community. It's like, hey, guy, you wear T-shirts? Cool, buy this T-shirt. And then it's just a matter of us being good fiduciaries, being responsible fiduciaries, and doing what we say with the money. That was my whole point of trying to, I don't know if you watched the Blueprint, but I'm saying, like, I want to use existing behavior. Right now, the shopping is our largest, it's the largest thing that we do. That's what we're number one at in this country, right? We're trying to get the portal developed, but it's, you know, 60, 80 grand to develop the portal and the app the way that we want to do it. So we're going to have to cut our sights a little bit lower. I want to share with some of the brothers and sisters too that, you know, that we were talking about the Black Wall Street. The Black Wall Street domain cost $75,000. They want 75 grand just for the domain. That doesn't include the website. So, you know, so these are some of the things that we're, some of the challenges that we're looking at. And, you know, right now, like I said, we're 130 strong, right? So if you can do the math, that, you know, let's just take the average of 28 that I put out there, you know, people at 10, 25, and 50. So what are you talking about, $2,800 or something like that? And we don't have, the numbers aren't evened out like that, to be honest with you. But so you say $2,800, we spend about $5,000 a month on marketing already, $4,000, you know. Our budget has gone so much further, you know, as time has progressed. I brought a brand new server for us to, we have our own private server, our actual server. I brought a brand new server for this before we even launched. I was like $6,500. You know what I'm saying? So we got a little way to go before we're even there. And so I'm trying to like jump in front of a lot of these problems and a lot of these questions by just, let's just give people a business or give them what they're looking for and just do the right thing. That's, you know, if that answers that question.
Well, I do understand that things are going to happen like right away, and I did sign up for the Platinum membership already. I'm just trying to find ways to completely explain what the process is and what we're looking for, because I know the people that I've talked to so far is still looking for something, and they're looking for something to say, okay, this is legitimate, because, you know, there's so many scams and things like that out there in the world.
Right.
You know, that they want to see something legitimate. And the concept is great.
Okay.
It's just it's at the start, and everybody, right. You know, we're in that microwave society that want things right now.
Yep.
And I'm trying to explain this program is not right now, but I'm trying to find a way to explain it where people understand it's not right now. We're looking down the road, and we're looking how to bring the black community back the way it's supposed to be back and how we can be self-sufficient because we do spend, you know, our dollars outside of the black community a lot.
Right. Yep, the vast majority of it. So in regards to that, you can speak to whoever the individuals are, and if they fashion themselves as leaders or someone, then you can invite them because right now we're in the founding member state. Founding members, like, you know, you'll have my number, and you can call me and be like, hey, Lou, listen, I was thinking about this. And we could brainstorm, and then you could, like, form your own, like, ambassadorship type thing, you know, in your area where you are. So that is definitely something. It was something that I had on the back of my mind, but I have a to-do list that's crazy, and I wanted to be able to have a lot of brothers and sisters. You know, to be able to come on and feel like they're part of this and actually help with the growing and the creation of what this is. You understand?
Yeah, I completely understand. I thank you, brother.
All right, no problem. Okay, so if no one else has any questions, I want to catch the callers, a few callers who came in on the line while we were talking. So we have caller from 616 area code. Sister? 616 area code? Sister June, I see you in the queue. Caller from 616 area code, your name, please, first name?
William.
Hey, brother, we're all right. I thought that was you. Okay, hold on.
Yeah. All right. How y'all doing?
We're good, brother. We got the ball rolling a little bit. Sister June, let me just catch these other callers, and then I'll get to your question. Hello, Sister Jamie. How you doing? Okay, so caller from 202702, is that you, Sister Kakoya? Hold on. Hello, Sister Kakoya, is that you? No, that's not you.
Nope.
Who's calling?
This is Jennifer.
Hey, Sister Jennifer. Hey, how you doing, Sister?
Good, how are you?
Okay, yep, I was just talking about you, talking about the conversation we had earlier.
Yep.
Okay, hold on, Sister. Let me catch these. Uh, 972-697 area code. Hold on. Caller, first name, please.
Jay.
Brother Jay?
Yeah.
Okay. Not brother, with Sister Charmaine or just you're a different brother?
No. No, I'm a different brother Jay.
Okay, hold on. Uh-huh. Brother Jay. Hey, brother Jay. Okay. And we have caller 404. Caller from 404-957. Your first name, please.
Latrice.
Sister Latrice. Okay, hold on for a moment. Where did you go, Sister? Could you say that? Could you speak again?
Patrice.
Sister Patrice, okay. Okay. Patrice. And then we have caller from 609 area code. Caller, your first name from 609 area code.
Hi, this is Zynga. Happy Thursday, everyone.
Hey, how you doing? Hold on for a minute. I'm sorry, your first name again, Sister?
Nzinga.
All right, N-Z-I-N-G-A?
Yes.
Okay, happy, okay. Brother Ron, I see you in the queue. Sister June is just ahead of you. Let me, we have two more callers. Caller from 864 area code. 864 area code, Sister, brother.
Hey, this is Hakeem. from South Carolina. Hi, Kini.
How do you spell that, sister?
It's HICUNNI.
Okay. And how you pronounce that again?
Hikini.
Okay, sister. Like that. Very unique. And
thank
then
you.
Caller. Okay. And then caller, I guess you have your number blocked. Caller, what is your first name? Hello?
Who, me?
Yes, you, brother.
I'm Brooks. Douglas Brooks. I'm sorry, I know I have my number blocked, brother. How you doing, Brother Lou?
Okay. Brother Brooks?
Brooks.
I'm sorry?
Douglas Brooks.
Okay. All right, brother. All right, cool. We just want to make sure, brother. It's that anonymous, you know. This is we talking about sensitive stuff over here, brother. All right. So everyone is tagged so I can address everyone by their name, sister and brother. And Sister June, you are up. Yes.
Hello, Brother Lou. This is my first time. I'm doing well, thank you. This is my first time on the call. I did take a look at the blueprints, you know, the video and all of that, and I wanted to put my two cents out there since I know a little bit about, and I have done marketing myself, marketing, you know, nonprofits that I'm involved in. I just wanted to suggest that people trust people, so maybe you hitting the streets and having a tour, you know, because the type of people, your audience isn't hard to find. So if you get with key people and key community people, you know, that have influence and that really believes in what's being done in here, I think it could potentially accelerate the process as far as membership goes. So that's what I wanted to put out there. And the people, the gentleman that was speaking before me, I just want to let you know that if you read what you're doing on paper, it sounds great. That's why I registered my email and got to see the blueprint. So if he's getting responses like that, it's just, you know, we all need to assess our commitment and our belief in the cause, because that's what they're feeding into. So once we believe, we can get other people to believe, and not everyone will say yes. So just
right.
Keep moving.
Well, sister, all right. You didn't message me. We weren't talking on the Facebook page, right? You didn't message me with that.
No.
No. Okay. So. Right, so there was a sister, she messaged me, and she told, she said that we should start at the black colleges. That would be really cool. Problem is, on the marketing side, I am it. And so, you know, so when it comes, so as far as doing the tour and, you know, doing all of those things, we would have to assemble, because we're all distributed, and, you know, we would have to find a place. So we have a lot of members that are from Atlanta. So I think it would probably be easy to start there, because we have some members, and then we could, you know, possibly grow from there. We also have a few members from New York, so that is another possible place. But, you know, in terms of me actually doing it, I am doing all the other marketing. Some of you guys don't see it because you're like already on an email list. But I'm constantly, I have to constantly, like, create content to get more and more new people into the funnel, since you understand marketing. I have to get more new people. I have to keep the Facebook page up, because if I don't, then it loses its reach. And I also wanted to share, you know, a little bit of information about that with, you know, with the brothers and sisters.
Would be where your ambassadors come in. Those people who are faithful to the cause, because, you know, obviously one person can't do it all. You're already doing a lot, like you said. But I just wanted to bring that up. First, you have to be bought into it. Like,
well,
when
sold.
I say you,
I'm,
I mean
I'm
me.
Sold.
Me. Not you.
Yeah.
First, your ambassadors have to have a buy-in, and be committed to the cause. It's just like any other cause, you know. Right. They got the diehard people committed to it, and that's, you know, that's where the charisma comes in, and that's where the membership comes. That's how it is. My father was a preacher. Every preacher that I know has charisma, and they really fully believe what they're talking about.
Right. Well, so with the ambassador thing, so what I was discussing this, I forgot with Blue, because I talk to so many people every day. But with the ambassador thing for the members, we were going to send out membership cards, and then we were going to send out, like, maybe little flyers or pamphlets. So the number one thing that works for us is there's this poster on the Facebook page, and it says, Wanted, 2,000 brothers and sisters who care about the community, blah, blah, blah. Facebook will not allow us to run that successfully, so they charge us a lot of money to run that, and it's our most successful promotion. So we were thinking of getting those, some placards, or, you know, maybe like the card stock cards, and sending a few of those with every member. They cost a few dollars. The only thing is, I know how flyer distribution is. So we will be sending these out 50, 100 at a time, and they will sit on people's dressers or in their drawer or in their mail, and it won't get distributed. And then that's just like, you know, money that the organization wasted, you know, that it could have saved, because there's really like no way. So we will have some people who will do it. And thinking from a marketing perspective, I always look at, okay, how much did this campaign actually cost and what did it bring in? But even still that way, it would be kind of hard to track unless each individual was to get like a specific link, and then it would be kind of hard to press that. But that is something that we could do. So, you know.
But then if we expound upon that, then really, if you really drill down, then the problem is really identifying who your diehards are then. Because your diehards are not going to let that happen. They're going to tell everybody. They're already telling people.
Right.
So, That's how I think. Right. I just wanted to bring my two cents in.
you're very valid. Everything that you said is very valid. Again, like I said, I mean, so something like that, it's on my to-do list, trying to look at the most effective way is there. You know, and so I just want to make a quick announcement to everyone. So last week our reach peaked at about 7 million, right? So that means our content, videos, posts, whatever it was, it reached 7 million people last week, because it was 6 million the week before and went up to 7 million. Had a lot of people inboxing me saying, why don't you have more positive content? Why don't you have this? You know, somebody even gave us a bad rating talking about, I'm confused. You said you don't like black businesses. You said, you know, like all kinds of crazy stuff instead of taking the time to actually scroll through the page and see what we're about, or to come on a town hall meeting and to understand. So I just want to reiterate to everyone on the call, if you see some type of content that is ratchet or shocking or whatever it is on the Facebook page, if it does not appeal to you, just scroll by. But the bottom line is, our brothers and sisters on social media will not interact with no other type of content. You can look at the positive content that we put on the page, and this is what happened. So people were saying that. So our last 3 or 4 posts were positive content. The reach has dropped to 3.8 million, just that fast. So I just want everyone to know, right? So the positive content, so although you guys may be interested, I see the people in the queue and I actually have to give it to them. So you guys may interact with the positive content. Some of you were able to see past the ratchetness, read our comment, because we have to piggyback our positive message along with the negative comment, and that's why you guys are on the call. So I just want to let everyone know. The other thing, go through the feed. If there's anything that resonates with you, please share it. You don't have to, you can like it, but definitely share it. I just made a video specifically talking about how we should deal with law enforcement, and I'll get to that a little bit later because I want to get the people who are in the queue, and I'll open the floor up to that. Do you have anything else you want to contribute, Sister June?
Oh, no, Brother Lou. Thank you for taking the time.
Yep, no problem. All right. Brother Ron. Shoot, brother.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
All right. Well, hello, brothers and sisters. This is Brother Ron. My question is, all right, the brother was talking about he wanted to be able to show people what we're doing. But right now, like, I fully believe in the program, so I know we're in the early stages. We don't have much to show because we're still building. We're trying to get the membership. But once we have the membership, once we're able to do everything that we need to accomplish, are we going to get like a quarterly or bi-quarterly type of documentation showing, all right, we put money into this, and this is what's going on. We opened up a store here. Or we did a business here.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, that's the whole purpose of the trying to do the Black Wall Street thing first. So
that would be for the members, the founding members, pretty much all the members.
The founding members. So when we do the Black Wall Street project is going to cost more than what the current membership is. So that's just me biting the bullet and just reinvesting. For those who don't know, I put a post there. I did an interview with Brother Rocky Eason from Restore Black America. For those of you on the call, I have tried to help our brothers and sisters to the tune of millions before. All right, so this is me trying again. It was not received well. And so this is why I'm adamant about, you know, the Black community or everyone else basically supporting or building their own, you know, building this thing. But I see that it's not going to happen fast enough. I don't want to sit around and just wait because I know people, you know, as the brother said, we live in a microwave society. People want to see it. They want to do it now. The Black Wall Street Project is going to cost us more than what we actually have. That will be the first business. And as those numbers come in, the founding members, I will sit down, we will go through that. The other thing though, like I said, we have to be very, very careful with the type of incident, right? Because you don't disclose financial information. If anyone on here who's a business person, you just can't go do that. So maybe we start a newsletter and we start talking about, hey, we did this and did this because
right.
If this organization gets on the radar, you guys know how Marcus Garvey and all these other people, you know the way that they were brought down. They can throw anything in the mix, especially because we're talking about, you know, the B Corporation, which is a fairly new business structure, which came about, I want to say 2011, 2012. If anyone is familiar with Tom Shoes or Kickstarter or any of those types of businesses, those businesses are B Corporations. So basically they exist to benefit, you know, a specific group of people. So we have to tread lightly in regards to that. But, you know, we will definitely see, you know, the proof will be in the pudding. Let's just put it that way. The proof will definitely be in the pudding. All right, brother?
Thank you. That was just interesting. Thank you, Brother Lou. Thank you.
All right, cool. Sister Bonnie and Sister Ange, hold on. Sister Bonnie? Hello?
Good evening, everybody.
How you doing, sister?
I'm doing good. Two things. First one, now I've been doing some recruiting on my own. I have because of Brother Will, I got into Black Junction, which is another social media site, but it's all our people. Then I ran across another one, actually the guy that started this one, which is actually a better site. It's called Melanated People. It's very much like Facebook, however, it seems to be more down-to-earth people on there, more people who are really wanting to do something, and then there are other organizations out there that are actually doing the same thing that we're doing in other parts of the country. So I've been kind of trying to recruit from those sites the people that would be like-minded. And all I'm doing is just basically telling them that if you want to see a change in your community, a positive change, businesses, job, I give them the website and have them go look at the blueprint.
Mm-hmm.
And I let them know if they're interested in becoming a part of that movement, we would greatly appreciate them joining us. And I leave it at that. Now, that's what I've been doing. And I've actually been successful to a point. I've been successful to a point.
Okay.
However, that's something I wanted to make sure that everybody was aware of. I do know that the melanated people is trying to get as many like-minded brothers and sisters off of Facebook and onto their social media site, and they've got a lot of things going on. They've got a lot going on. I don't know whether there's a cost for advertising there. I'm thinking it may be, but you can join for free, or you can join and pay, I think it's $52 for because they're building, adding stuff to the site. And that's what they're doing. Now, that's the first thing. The second thing is, just like Kickstarter and GoFundMe, there is a crowdfunding site that is all black and is made, is there for us, and they have a lot of different things on there where you can go on there and you can actually request help with funds, and they so that's something you need to be aware of too, that that site is out there.
I mean, I'm familiar. I mean, well, I wasn't saying it from a perspective of us needing. I'm just saying, like, our business structure is set up like that. So I wasn't saying specifically,
right?
You know, that we needed a Kickstarter. That's what I was just saying. All right.
Exactly. However, you know, we need to know what's out there, especially what's out there in our community. And that's one thing that's out there in our own community, our own crowdfunding site where we can go and we can request help with whatever. Most of them are businesses or they are nonprofits that are in need of help. And they're getting money in. I went through it and looked to see, and they're getting funds for these various institutions and for various people. Some of them are for education, some of them are not. But it's out there just in case anybody needs it. I do have that website. So I will get that to you, too.
All right. Thank you, Sister Bonnie. All right. And we have Sister Ange. Hello.
Hi. Hello, so I just had I had a couple of questions for you, Brother Lou. And so the first thing is, I'm assuming that you're the founder of the organization.
Yes.
Okay. So usually when people are founding organizations, they provide like background information about themselves, and so that people can know what you've kind of been a part of and, like, all of those kind of things. Do you have an autobiography or anything where we can look you up to find out background about you?
Yeah. So on the About Us, that's there. Mm-hmm. And then there's an extensive interview that I did with the Restore Black America Foundation, and that's on the website as well.
Okay, and where are those things? Because I looked at the About Us, but
they're on the website.
Specifically, okay. I didn't see anything specifically about you on the About Us, but I'll look at it.
I'm right there. I mean, so
okay.
you mean in terms of like, but if you listen to the interview from Restore Black America, it does a deep dive in regards to like where I'm coming from and you know what my previous business experience and all these other different things are. So that it's a little bit more.
Perfect. I was kind of looking for an autobiography. So, like, usually when there's an organization, like, you can go to a page and it has, like, autobiography and it will say, brother, whatever your full name is, and then it will have, like, when you were born, and then it will say, oh, well, you've been a part of these things, you've been a part of that, you've been a part of, like, all of this stuff that you've kind of been a part of, just so that people can kind of learn about who this person is that's like founding this amazing, I think that it's amazing what you're doing, but I think that people are going to want to know who you are. And so I was kind of looking for something like that.
Okay.
All right. So do you have anything like that available or not yet?
No, it's there. It's there. Listen to the interview with,
it's a video. Okay.
Yeah. Right. So it's an interview. You can do that. And again, like I said, on the about page. So.
Mhm. I'm here now. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah. And you had another question?
Yeah. That's it.
Okay. Mhm. All right. So, any other questions in regards to this organization, the blueprint, or you know anything in regards to Black Wallets Matter? We have a few people who have come on who haven't been able to get their names yet. Press star 6 if you have any. There we go. Okay, call us 216. Hold on, let me get your name. Your name, please.
Hello?
Yes, your first name, please.
Oh, Joseph.
Brother Joseph. Okay, hold on, brother. Yep, and what is your question, brother?
All right, Brother Lou, I'm pretty young. I'm 23, but I'm looking around. I'm looking at the situation, the different forms of organization that we formed at that.
Brother, your phone is breaking up. Your phone is breaking up really bad.
Oh, I'm sorry about that. Is this a little better? Is this better?
Yeah.
Okay. I was wondering, other forms of organizations as far as other groups of the African diaspora, we have potential to maybe form organizations with, or have you looked into things like that?
No, I haven't because I don't know if you missed it, but so we're kind of like at the beginning, stages of this organization. So we are not as solid as we want to be.
I'm sorry. I think I missed that. I came in a little late. But it was just something I wanted to ask about. All right,
okay.
Thank you.
Yep. Okay, so Sister Pat. Sister Pat?
Hey there, Brother Lou. I just have a general question about the town hall meetings and the actual, I'm not sure how many you've had prior to the one that we're having this evening. I just wanted to kind of get an idea of the length of time of your town hall meetings. And the reason why I asked is because in the email the issue was solutions to problems in the Black community. And we're still on Q&A regarding the
So again, like I said, that's a good question. So the town halls usually last for about 2 hours to about 11 o'clock. Sometimes we've had ones that last 5 hours. This the reason we had a lot of new guests on, so people who weren't. Who probably weren't familiar with the whole organization and how, you know, how we operate. So that's really what that was. But if you have, you know, if you have an issue or you have something that you would like to bring to the floor, we can definitely, you know, take that up. If anyone, you know, if anyone has any final questions, we can do that, and then we can start bringing issues to the floor. And specifically, you know, I wanted to talk about this issue with the law enforcement and some of the things that's going on. And then one of our other members, she just let me know that her son was jumped in one of these like World Star type events, and they broke her son's neck. He's paralyzed, and things like that. And so I wanted to bring like issues like that to the floor this evening. It's just, again, but you know, we just had so many so many inquiries, and so I like to be respectful of the inquiries.
Okay. And is your normal process of opening the town meetings, is those telephone numbers that you can identify with, you always address each one of them individually for their first name?
I address, right. So the protocol is when you come on, this software should keep your name. So when you come on the town hall meeting, I can address you immediately and say, hey, how you doing, Sister Pat? And then, you know, if you have an issue, you can email me prior to coming on the town hall and something that we can bring to the floor. Or if we're having an open discussion, you can just say, hey, this is the issue that I would like to bring to the floor. So, again, if no one has any other questions pertaining to the association and the organization, Sister, if you have an issue that you want to bring to the floor, then, you know, you can.
I do want to address the term community.
What is it? Sorry?
Were you speaking to me, Brother Lou, as far as getting something started?
Right. Okay. Do you have an issue? Do you have something you want to bring to the floor?
Absolutely.
So just give me a second. So I'll have to set it up and give you the floor and then allow everyone to weigh in with by pressing star 6. Okay, so just give me a second. Okay, so Sister Pat has an issue she wants to bring to the floor. Sister Pat?
Okay. Thank you, Brother Lou. Yeah. In listening to even the opening, some of the questions being asked during Q&A, the term community concerns me, and the reason why is because when we consider the term, we use it as though it's referring to a specific community. And I think what many of us are saying is race.
The black community. Okay.
And I believe that's going to pose a whole lot of issues. The reason why is because when there's a startup of anything and we talk about supporting a community, I would probably question as to which community are you referring to. I'm in South Carolina. Someone else is in Florida. Another person is in Wisconsin. We're all over. So when we go and say we're supporting a specific community, I think we should be careful with that, because some of us do understand that a community really is does not exist for blacks. We live in neighborhoods, but we don't have a specific community. And when we think in terms of supporting a community, my thought process is, where am I going to support that community? And that would be the basis before we start talking about the solutions, is to come to terms as to what is considered to be a community. For example, DeSoto, Texas has a nice black, affluent, established black community. And if someone says, okay, we are going to prepare to support the DeSoto area, I would say, okay, now I know what we're supporting, because DeSoto has its established black schools, established black library, established grocery store, established gas station. They have a community center, and all of this is supporting a specific established black community.
But did you watch the blueprint, sister?
This country.
Did you watch the blueprint, sister?
I did.
Okay, so when we say the black community, we are all lumped into that classification when other communities are talking about us, when other ethnic communities, right? And so they say ethnic, so they say like the Jewish community, they say like the Latino community, and they mean the Latinos throughout America, they mean the Jewish community throughout America. The term Black America, the term the Black community, I am thinking about it in that perspective. Because prior to setting this thing up, I did research into how other organizations, how other social and civic organizations are set up, how the terms that they use and how they're able to be like the Italian community or the Italian American community or the Italian American League, and basically get money from the government based on that without it being deemed as something racist or racial or some type of racial bias. I think what you're saying, so I've heard arguments, you know, where people are saying, well, the black, we don't have a black view, like Dr. Claude Anderson and, you know, some other people I heard, you know, them say those, you know, use it in that frame of mind because they're saying we're not communal in regards to that. You know, if you know, this is your first time speaking with me and, you know, things like that, but you'll learn. I'm a like bottom line kind of guy. I don't like playing with semantics. I don't really like care about like vague thoughts. I only care about like the bottom line and what is. And we can, with the designation black community, we could actually form an organization, be recognized in the government, be recognized in like other places as the black community. In addition to some of the issues that we want to tackle in terms of, you know, the poverty, the unemployment, the police brutality specifically will benefit us all because it's a blanket law that's there for all people of color, right? So it may even wind up benefiting Mexicans. It may wind up even benefiting Indian people, you know, because they technically are people of color as well. But I'm looking at it from legal and economic and political designation. That's how I'm thinking about it. And so when I use that term, that's what I mean in regards to it. And again, I am aware of the nuances that term can have. But again, you know, I'm a bottom line kind of guy. Like, so we know who we're talking about, right? We're talking about black people here in America, specifically those who are being persecuted, those who are suffering. Me personally, I'm not of the demographic, or I'm not in the league of the people who I'm actually trying to help. I come from that environment. I come from Brooklyn. I come from an environment where there's hopelessness, there's despair. From this organization, from an economical standpoint, we may need to start in Atlanta. We may need to start in Philadelphia. We may need to start in Detroit, where we know that we can reach a lot of our brothers and sisters in terms of the community resource centers. One, because the real estate would be cheaper. It may be easier to get buildings and things like that. It'll be easier to, once these brothers and sisters are trained, there's gentrification going on, these brothers and sisters would be able to be deployed into the workforce because, you know, a lot of these new houses and these new buildings, these things are going to need maintenance. And our main thing is to provide our brothers and sisters with skilled trades, right? So just not, you know, not just random stuff that's, you know, for a specific purpose. So that's what I mean when I say the black community, if that clarifies it for you. If you want anyone else to weigh in on it, then they're free. But that's how I'm, that's, you know, that's what I mean by the term.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Sister Bonnie wants to weigh in on that. Anyone else wants to weigh in on the? So what Sister Pat is saying is the term community. She is saying community could be a specific locale, as opposed to us saying the general black population or black American population, or actually my eyes had to be open even more to just embrace all black people from even the Caribbean and all these other different places too, because when our persecutors and oppressors, when they do something to us, they do not make the distinction. They don't say, hey, are you Jamaican? Hey, are you African? Hey, are you, you know, just black American? They don't do that. Are you a descendant of a slave? They don't do that. They, you know, start cracking heads. So you have a lot of people that want to weigh in. Pat, here you go. This is the floor, and you can address them directly. All right, sister?
Okay.
All right, so we have Sister Bonnie, Sister Joy, and Sister Rhonda. Sister Bonnie, you're up.
Okay, I don't have a question, but I do have a statement. When I look at the black community, I look at every black person in this country. We're not in one location, and chances are we're not going to be in one location as long as we're in the United States. We're going to be everywhere. We're going to be in every city, in every state. So we can't just address what's going on in Chicago and not address what's going on in Philadelphia or what's going on in L.A. Because that's still a part of, those people are still part of our community. They are still black people. So when I look at the black community, I look at blacks everywhere in this country. And I consider us all to be a part of the same community. And that's how they do it. Like in Chicago, they have Jewtown, they have Chinatown. This is their business district. And some of them may even live in those areas. However, they're still all over the country. And when they start talking about the Jewish community or the Asian community, and if you're listening to the news and they start talking about one of those communities, they're not designating a certain location. They're designating a people. And that's how I see us, as a people, not as a location.
Right.
Well,
She's addressing you.
Right,
Sister Pat.
I really understand what you mean, but to be clear, the term community is not used amongst the whites or the Asians. When they and the reason why this, let me just tell you why this is important to me, I would say, is because, and now what Brother Lou is doing is in my opinion, for a population, not necessarily for a community, because then if we actually separate the entities, then we can start going to root. It's like a root cause type of thing. We can start establishing what we need to establish in separate entities by location. And he mentioned Atlanta, starting there. But at first, we start at the very top, which is the population, and the terms are extremely important. The reason why is because when you're reaching out to a large group of people, mm-hmm. and you talk about support, and you talk about programs, you got to remember the support and programs is still going to be targeting a specific group of people.
Right.
Whether it's within the community or within the nation, within the black nation. When we boil things down to the community, then we start talking about the establishment of businesses that then trickle down to how we conduct ourselves and our attitude as a people. Right. Because really, the businesses make us as a people. If you have, you ever went into a community and you, I mean a real community, and it was a, the community was sharp, and the houses were the houses were in good shape, the grass was in, the landscape was in good shape, whether they were run by a homeowners association or not. So that community, the businesses within that community, their attitude is what rubbed off on the people. So the way the businesses were the way the you could pretty much find the attitude of the people within that community, whether it's a family, the teenagers that go to school, whether it's the librarian attitude at the library, whether it's the cashier at the gas station. Everybody pretty much share the same type of attitude within that community. So that's why I think the terms should be separated, so we can really know at this point with Brother Lou is we're not really we're starting at a particular race. White people do not call themselves communities. They call where they live and their establishment of what they built as a community. But they don't call themselves a community. Neither do the Asians. They call their establishment the community, which helps us to actually get to understanding where we are to now and where we need to be at the end. So I think our wording and our terms, that's just my opinion, and after reading and talking with different people, watching videos, and I have a whole network of friends from the Philippines that live here. I have a network of friends that are Korean. I have a network of friends that are white. The only people that call themselves a community normally is the blacks.
Okay. All right. Well, we have Sister Joy, Sister Rhonda, and Brother Brandon in the queue. I guess they want to address you as well. Sister Bonnie, are you good, sister?
Yes.
Okay. And sister, I'm sorry, sister. Sorry about that, Sister Bonnie. Sister Joy.
Hello, Sister Joy. So I first want to thank you for for bringing up the topic. But I also want to kind of draw attention to the fact that the definition of the word community, it also does have several meanings. It can refer to people that are living in the same place, but it can also refer to people that share common interests. And I think that it is important for us to move towards, to unify and to share common interests. And I think thinking of it as a black community, I think it allows us to think, what does that mean to me? And it transcends beyond, oh, I'm in Georgia, so this is my community here. No, as a people, as a community, we're being suppressed. And we need to meet. I think that it's a good thing because it's what we're looking towards. We're looking to be a community. They do I have heard of the Japanese community. I have heard of the European community. I just looked it up online just to be sure. And I think it's also important that we can learn a lot from the whites, but we don't necessarily have to do it the way they do it. Just because they don't call themselves a community doesn't necessarily mean that we don't have to refer to ourselves as a community. And then my final point is that we have the LGBT community. They're everywhere. And that's, to me, what I see us as a blacks. We're a community, and we're everywhere.
That's interesting because that's exactly what I did prior to my research. So some of you guys you don't know, but this was modeled after two of the most successful civic and social organizations. I'm talking about Black Wallets Matter. I am modeling it from existing successful organizations. They refer to themselves as communities. They lobby as communities. They receive funds from the government, AARP, and they call for the seniors, and they represent the senior community. But AARP represents black, white people from all over the whole country, and they said that they're represented. The LGBT community is a perfect example. If you know, you guys watch the Blueprint, you'll know that I did some research in regards to how they, into how they do the lobbying, how they do, you know, how they hire lawyers and things like that. Sister, is that? Hello, sister.
I'm here.
Oh, go ahead. It sounded like you were chanting or something or beating the drum.
I apologize. I was fanning. Sorry.
Oh, okay. But since I don't want to, you know, I just want everyone to weigh in. You know, I already have my say. So, but I do like the fact that you guys are thinking in terms of, I just don't want to say white. I'm glad that I think most people on the call recognize that we need to model ourselves after people who have already demonstrated success, because that's the blueprint that we could follow.
Right.
So I want to get Sister Rhonda, let Sister Rhonda weigh in, Brother Brandon, and then we have a caller from 646. Wasn't able to get his name or her name, so I'll do that. Sister Joy, is there anything you want to add in conclusion?
I think that in conclusion, just keep doing what we should keep doing what we're doing, and we got to remember that the devil sometimes is in the details. And I'm a very God, Lord knows, I'm a very detailed person, and I've learned that sometimes the devil is in the details. I just don't want some of the smaller things to tear us apart. So it's good to have these conversations, though, but just remain mindful of that for everyone, that we don't want to get too much into the little details.
Right. Okay. Right. So I appreciate
that comment, but I didn't think it was a small detail. It's very important to me, and it's weighed heavy on me, so I wouldn't consider it to be a small detail. When I do my best to support, and I can use the term community right now to just relate, but I am one that support Black businesses all over my city as much as I can. And even when I have concerns about the way I'm treated, I still walk into that business to let them know that I'm still here. I'm going to give you my money because I want the best for you and your business. But as far as the community, as in my interpretation, I'm helping that individual. That's an entity that I'm helping that I will never get back because that person is not a part of my community. So whatever all the money that I'm putting into these different businesses, my children and my grandchildren will not be able to benefit from that because we are not a part of a community. We're just different Black people owning our own businesses in hopes that other Black people will walk in, or anybody will walk in. But we pretty much really are asking for Black people to walk into our businesses and support us to help build our businesses. But I know that business that I supported way across town over there will not be contributing back into the things that are within my community. So that's what I was referring to. So, you know, I understand what the sister was saying, and I'm not a religious individual, and I don't believe in any devils or anything like that, but I definitely feel like if someone brings up a concern like myself, you know, take it, you know, it is huge for me, and it is something has weighed heavy on me. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm sorry. No, what I said at the beginning of the call, for those who missed it, the number one thing that, one of the main things that we are going to have to learn to do as Black people, we're going to have to learn how to argue constructively. Yeah. We are going, right? So we're going to have to learn to disagree because that's what we do. We debate. We do it. So for, you know, so if you know, if this gets a little tense, right, then fine. But I want everyone to understand, I don't want anyone to take it personal, because the bottom line is, right, we have a lot of problems, and this is what it takes to hammer out those differences. So I heard what you said, sister. What you said was it's actually a great topic for another town hall meeting, which is supporting Black businesses, but, you know, they don't give back to the community. For those of you on the call, you can listen to the interview that I did with Brother Rossi, and I go into that. And I go into, you know, me with my own business, you know, I had a community that supported me, I had a neighborhood that supported me, and I didn't get back. I took my money and ran off and went and brought a Lexus with, you know, somebody else. It just so happens that my mother was like, hey, what are you doing? You know, do something. And so we started with, you know, the dinners on Thanksgiving and the backpacks and things like that for school. But, I want to move on because we have a few people. There's a lot of people that want to win. So I guess you brought a hot topic to the floor. So this is cool. So we have Sister Rhonda, Brother Brandon. We have the caller from 646, and we have Sister Ange. Sister Joy, anything you want to add in conclusion?
Oh, just in conclusion, I apologize if I offended you. I was speaking more on a blanket term, not to your specific topic, just as a whole.
Okay, I understand, and I appreciate that. Thank you.
No, you're certainly welcome.
All right. Sister Rhonda, you have the floor. Sister Rhonda.
Yes, I'm just concerned with this community situation here, what we call it. You know, our people of community, I mean, in a community or whatever, because to me, we're worldwide as far as, you know, people being, you know, New York, California, Arizona, we're all over. And like you stated, brother, even in the Caribbean. Now, I do have people all over the world, truthfully, in Japan or whatever, but the thing is that people of color in this country right now, in this day and time, are having socioeconomic, political issues that will affect their business. So I can be in this locale in New York, and we're going to have to be in a virtual setting because we're all not going to be able to reach out and touch each other physically. And
right. Sometimes
that's, you know, that as we move on, we have to see it as it is. We can't, some of the things from the old way, we can incorporate into the new way. But this social media has taken the world by the storm. And we can't be in Japan tomorrow and say such and such because it just might not be physically possible. So as people of color in this community, I say, we just have to focus on moving forward, knowing that we have a common goal. It's gonna take some time because some of us aren't ready to move forward on that, you know, point. They go, oh, well, I'm over here. Why ain't they doing this over here? I need this over there. It's going to have to work its kinks out, but we're going to have to do it on a virtual setting because we out there already. The internet has taken us out there.
Right. That was another point that I wanted to talk about in regards to those of us who are motivated to actually do something. So we're scattered all over the place. It's so few and far in between that we're going to need a medium such as this, a virtual medium, to basically form the community. The other thing. So us, the core members who are here, the people who are, you know, been here since day one, we have formed our own community. We get on conference call. I have never even met Sister Bonnie, Sister Barbara, Sister Kakoya, Brother Cujo, you know, some of these people, and we have been talking for hours and hours, and it's like, hey, what's going on? Let me tell you about this. Hey, you know, these kids are here driving me nuts, trying to make them do chores. Like, we formed our own community. And it's distributed. So, and again, I just don't want to harp on that, but I'm glad that you brought up the virtual aspect because that's essentially what we're trying to form now, right? So brothers and sisters who care, who are distributed, who say, you know what, if we're able to uplift one locale, let's say Atlanta, right, because all eyes are on Atlanta. Let's say if we were able to turn things around in Atlanta and raise the visibility of black people or even Chicago, and let's say we were to do something to impact the violence that's going on in Chicago, this organization, that would bring us more notoriety, that would get more people on board. And all we did was help Chicago because we were selfless. You know, we just showed, you know, that love. So I'm sorry, Sister Pat. Did you want to? I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. And I agree with her as well. I agree that this is, I agree with everyone's input about all of us having to work together. And this is a nice platform to do so. Online, social media. I mean, this is what we have to do now to connect. It's a great way to connect. Thank God for technology. network that you're building right now, I would consider that as a community as well, the virtual community. And it is a wider spectrum. So that is something that I am also concerned about as well as the smaller communities where we need to start learning how to establish a new attitude so that this could act so that when it comes to police brutality and all these other issues that are of concern to us as Black people, that the new that attitude that we have right now with sharing with one another over the telephone will also trickle down to these smaller communities that we're trying to tackle too within our businesses and within our schools, within the parks and recreational centers that we can find our young people at. You know, when issues arise, what's the attitude? Well, these attitudes come from people like us getting together, having good conversations, having good attitudes, and know how to debate with one another in a respectful way. And this attitude will trickle down to other entities within the Black race or our community.
Yeah, I agree with what you're saying. I really appreciate you throwing that in. And a big thing for us in the virtual setting will be trust. Black people don't do they don't do good with trusting, and I understand why. It's a big issue, and in the virtual setting, I think we can overcome that. I really do, as far as we don't have to see this person to already formulate an opinion about the person. We can listen to the person's dialogue, understand it. If you don't understand, ask questions, and then we on to the next thing. You formulate your opinion like that. Sometimes people, when you put a person face to face, you'll say, oh, you know what, I don't like, you may walk away with the attitude, oh, I don't like what they said, you know, I ain't even going to deal with that. But then it's a plus in the virtual setting. Well, I don't really know this person. Let me digest what they're saying and see if this is feasible, see if I can chew it up and spit it out and see if it makes sense and go back to the person and kick it around with them. I think it's swell. I think it's I think that's the best thing that could happen to the community, the Black community. I really do, because we don't do well in trust. We don't in trust.
That's going to be, I think that's also, I'm actually writing a note down in regards to that, because that could be a whole other topic, Sister Rhonda. So we have a few more brothers. We have a few more brothers and sisters in the queue. I want to give them the opportunity before we close in on that 11 o'clock hour. So, Sister Rhonda, is there anything you want to add in conclusion?
Nothing, thank you.
Okay. Brother Brandon, we have Brother Brandon and Sister Ange and Brother Cujo and the caller from 646. All right, Brother Brandon.
Yes, Brother Lou, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Yes, sir. So, Sister Joy, I think, hit on almost everything I wanted to say, so I'm almost out of everything to say. Basically, you know, with the community, in my experience as a Black man, Black people know what it means when you say the Black community. You know, and at the end of the day, it's good to observe what other, you know, races of people are doing and how their, you know, their economies are and how they are being productive in that way. But we're not those people, and there's nothing wrong with that. You know, there's nothing wrong with the term Black community. And the Black people that I have come across, I've come across many different kinds, you know, types of Black people. They identify with that. And again, that's okay. They don't identify with being called the Black population. You know, oh, we need to help the Black population. You know, Black people don't identify with that in my experience. You know, not in everyone else's experience, of course. And a lot of Black people I see, they sweat these small things, like about minimalizing, you know, what she was the other sister was saying. But if we're trying to discuss going in a direction, whether we're a community or population, that's not so much the starting point.
Right.
And again, like Sister Joy said, you know, the devil is in the details. You know, the details is, what are we trying to accomplish? How can we accomplish that? You know, the terms and the, you know, pulling out of the source and whatnot, that can come afterwards if at that point that needs to even be an issue.
I agree, brother. I agree. Yeah, I agree. Brother said pull out the thesaurus. All right.
So Sister Joy basically hit on everything I wanted to say, so that's basically all for me.
All right. Thank you so much, brother. Thank you. All right. Caller 646. You are – let me get your name, sister or brother.
This is the African brother. This is Brother Muda.
Okay, brother. Okay, Brother M. Got you. Oh, no, actually, I got that. All right, cool. All right, hey, how you doing, brother? You sound much clearer this week.
Yeah. Only thing I just probably need to emphasize on is the trust issue within the black community or black people among themselves.
We want to just address the community part.
Can you feel it?
The trust thing is going. We're going to have, because we have more people in the queue, so we want to kind of keep it on topic. So we want to talk. We want to address with Sister Pat. Her thing was the use of the term community.
They pretty much said everything. I just want to bring that. Stress over how important it is, and how important it's supposed to be. And that's it. I don't have much to say this time. Maybe next time.
Okay. All right, thank you, brother. Sister, hey, Sister Ange, how you doing?
Hi, I'm here.
Okay. Yep.
So, Sister Pat, I just want to thank you for addressing this, and I think that it's very important to start with the basics. I can definitely identify with the black population, and I agree that the wording is very important. I completely understand where Sister Patton is coming from, and I want to thank her for bringing this up because many people do not know how to separate the two. Our communities are very different. The community I come from and what they face, I am not directly impacted by that. Furthermore, I do not agree that I am a part of that community per se. I am a part of the black population, but with many of the videos and stuff like that that I've watched, it doesn't affect me in the same way that it affects those specific communities. And so she made a very excellent point when she talked about how white people do not call themselves a community. Not that we are trying to be like them, but they don't. The European community that the young lady was speaking of discussed economies in Europe, which is comprised of the European coal and steel community, the European economic community, and the European autonomous energy community, which is all specifically kind of tying into the European Union, which is a completely different kind of segment than what we're discussing here. And so in moving forward, I do believe that we should be open to different ideas because specific things that affect certain people in different communities, I would not agree with that. Like, I wouldn't be able to identify with that, especially with a lot of the things that going on in the black population now and with the police brutality and stuff like that. Yes, it's terrible, but specifically what's happening in those communities does not necessarily affect my community and where I'm from. So I would like to thank her for at least addressing this so that everyone can be able to see that there is a separation and that there is a separation when you're talking about communities and you're talking about population.
Okay. Thank you. I think you stated it better, a lot better than I was able to.
Okay. So you are in agreement with the sister that we need to I just think that you're using the term community as in regards to a physical locale. And I believe it was Sister Joy that brought it up was when when they used the term the LGBT community. The LGBTQ, because there's a Q now, that community is dispersed. The Jewish community, again, and I'm looking in terms of how they receive their government funding and how they use their voting power and how they hire their lobbyists. it is used, the word, the term that is used specifically is those communities. So,
well, I that, think for the.
So I'm just saying. So if you know, in regards to so specifically, so so you know, in regards to Black Lives Matter and the way that I used it, and I don't even know if that's what she was referring to. I think maybe she's just saying the way that we call like Black community in general. I don't know, but the thing that I wanted to say is that I am looking at it of how other organizations were structured in the name, in the way that they set it up, so that they would be able to have those designations without being considered like racist, right? And so the thing that stood out to me was these Italian American leagues and these Italian American communities. That's how they worded it specifically. They're unions and they're different things. They're coalitions. They're all these different words that they use. But the one that kept standing out to me over and over, especially from on the political front, was the word community. And then as the brother, brother Brandon just said prior to, the people that I know, they readily identify with that term. And so, and it may not be where, you know, and it may not be in your actual community, in your actual locale. My community, where I am, we don't have those problems, well, you know, in terms of like with the police violence and all these other things. But again, I think that it puts, we are all judged in the common eye in the media. Young Black men, regardless of where they're from, are judged in a specific light or looked at in a specific light because of the actions of brothers in Chicago and New York and Atlanta and all these other different places. But a brother that's, you know, worked at DeSoto, Texas, right? So we talked about that last week and the sister brought that up. Maybe they don't have that going on there in DeSoto, Texas, but let that brother leave and go to New York, Chicago, one of these other places. They're going to be viewed. The officers, the oppressors, the people who are looking at them, they're not making the determination that you are this or that or whatever, or even that you're from a particular place. They are saying you're Black, right? They don't even care. They don't care African, West Indian, whatever it is. You're Black. This is what we think about Black people, and then they're going to treat you accordingly. That's,
well, we're not.
That's, I'm sorry.
Sorry about that, brother.
No. I'm just saying it from, and I'm just saying it under that umbrella. But I do understand the distinction that you guys want to apply, and that's cool. And you guys are very detail oriented. I look forward to working with you on the little minute things that we have to do as the organization. I look forward to you guys, to the oversight, because like I said, I have a to-do list that's about as long as a person. And, you know, perhaps you guys could get in there and say, hey, you know, you're overlooking this, or I can help with this, or whatever. Proofreading, whatever it is. Strategizing, whatever it is. This particular community, the Black Wallace community, these town hall meetings, this is a community, this is an open community, especially as those who come in at the founding member level, you know, at this time, everyone can weigh in, everyone has input. So, you know, I just wanted to share that. We have Brother Cujo in the queue. Sister, is there anything you would like to add in conclusion? Or Sister Pat, would you like to address that? Because she's on your side, so you want to give her like a virtual high five?
You want to... She said it better than I could, and I appreciate it.
Okay, so sister, that was a virtual right on, sister. All right, all right, Brother Cujo. Brother Cujo.
Hello.
Yes.
Hey, how you doing, Brother Luke?
All right, how you feeling?
Good. I'm thinking about what Sister Pat said, and understanding the context that she's coming from, community. When you say community and all the things that you mentioned surrounding it, and the last sister who spoke, I kind of understand what you're saying. It sounds like there's a focus towards having basically a group of people that are cohesively working together and that have created an environment that is economically stable and self-sustaining. understanding the context that you come from, as far as I'm aware, I don't know of any black communities in that context. And based on the layout of the blueprint, the Black Wallets Matter organization would likely be the first black community that works together cohesively, has an economic base, and is self-sustaining. When you look at the parts of the blueprint where it outlines some of our focuses as to where we'll be helping young women have jobs and careers, and the same for young men, and having stable businesses where some of them are backed by the government, where we'd be focusing on government contracts, and having a support system through with other businesses that will likely be opened up. And we're looking at a higher goal of having at least 1 million people involved in it. And I'm pretty sure you could glean from the conversation the caliber of people that you're dealing with, that you'll talk to, that you'll be able to communicate with and network with. And this would tend to create a different situation than what we tend to run into a lot now, where you're supporting a black business, and that black business, you have no guarantee that they're actually going to support that they're actually going to help anybody else that's black. And there's no real accountability in the public, as far as when you go and shop at a black business. We don't have any, I know in a lot of respect, I haven't seen information to say that, or proof to show that black companies are actually doing something in the black community. But the Black Wallets Matter organization is pretty much a community in itself, and all of these things are pretty much set in from its inception, which that's what we're working on now. And so you have an economic base with the opportunities that are soon to be provided, and the shopping portal that will be coming, and other businesses that will be opened up, and the possibility of being able to network with other black businesses. And there's likely going to be a black business directory set up to where there will be accountability for black businesses through the Black Wall Street program that we plan on instituting. And aside from that, you also have support from under this umbrella for your legal standing in society, and how you will be protected. And in each of us individually can even be protected by the things that we'll focus on, just like me and Brother Lou had talked before about what would be the ask, what would we be asking, like the top civil rights attorney, for, what would we be asking them to handle, to change, to modify, all of these things that are subject to happen come from this community of us actually working together. Now, it's, obviously, it's not built yet, but that's why I would say that it looks to me like this is the first legitimate black community that will be built or have existed in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty much all I wanted to jump in and say.
Thank you, Brother Cujo. You kind of summed up. Yeah, that, you know, pretty much took the words out of my mouth. We have Sister Rhonda. She's in the queue. Brother Cujo, thank you for chiming in. Sister
That's
Pat,
right.
you want to address that, or you're fine?
No, I completely understand everything he's saying.
Okay.
And the network within, I do understand that. That's that's what we mean, that has to trickle on down to where we live at. as well. So it's all really the same thing, Brother Lou. But yeah, I do appreciate what you say. I understand.
All right, so we'll take Sister Rhonda. Thank you, Brother Cujo. Sister Rhonda, you are in the queue. Sister, I want to let you know, so we're at that 11 o'clock hour.
Right. I'm ready to cut it off myself, so I know. The only thing I'm saying to you is that I agree with what you said a few minutes ago in regard to if someone moves to Arizona, wherever, they're still going to be black. So that's why I'm with a community of stating that, you know, black community, because wherever you go, no matter what you are, they view you as being black. I do agree with you with that, because we are not a stationary society anymore. We are very much mobile, even going places in Paris. We have discriminated against us over there. Things are happening throughout the entire world. In America, we're always going to be considered black wherever we go. So the virtual setting, I just think, is good for us, so that it will get us on the footing where if we move into California for a minute, we know that when we go to California, things are happening out there like this. If we go to Virginia, things are happening out there like that. So I agree with you on that. Not black community. I really do. Because we're not a mobile society. We'll never go back. We always go forward, whether it's in detriment or in a good way. We learn from our mistakes and we keep moving. And I don't call them mistakes. I call them missteps. Because we all humans and we all going to make a misstep. Nobody on this earth that's, you know, not going to make a misstep. So, you know, we learn from the past to deliver the future. And the future is these children.
All right, thank you, Sister Rhonda. All right, so we have Sister Angelique in the queue. She wants to chime in. Sister Pat, do you want to address that or?
Yeah, I'm hoping I understand it, but I do want to make this clarification, just to clear up that this term or this discussion is not for the perception of others. It really is for us within. And the outline in which we address ourselves so that we can all understand what direction we're going into. I mean, this is all about building. It's all about educating. It's all about entrepreneurship. There's a whole lot, but we have to define an outline. There's got to be a strategy now because we know who we are. It has nothing to do with who's looking in. It's all about us and knowing the direction that we're going into as far as building us up as a community. So I'm not sure what she was actually saying, if we're concerned about how others view us, but I wanted to just kind of clarify here that it has nothing to do with what we feel they should, how they should perceive us. It's mainly how what's our strategy and what's our plan and how do we build? And if we're going to start with community here, then this is the network, and then what's the next step to build another network that will trickle down to how all of this will affect us individually.
Right. I get it. Right. So that is the main goal. So if you watch the blueprint, right, so this is going to have to be a multi-generational plan, and how it will bring about change. How it will bring about change is we have to work with the babies. And so the babies will be the ones that are able to understand what's going on and basically have maybe a new idea of what it means to be black. That's something that we talk about on these town halls often. We talk about maybe that this generation, we probably were not going to be able to do too much to change their perspective, but we definitely could work on the children. And if we concentrate our efforts in a specific area where we can reach more of our brothers and sisters in one shot, that can become the model, that can become the beacon for all other areas. And then if that, and let's say if that area has political clout and economic clout, it would be able to, and, you know, let's just use Atlanta. We start with Atlanta, and then we say, okay, cool, next place, let's just go and try to build something in Philadelphia. Now we have two powerhouses, two major black communities that have money to start helping other different areas. And so I know, you know, Columbia, South Carolina, I know, you know, you guys have a black population there. And if you, you know, I'm going to actually be there over the holiday. So, you know, if you want to talk behind the scenes and try to figure out this ambassadorship thing, because you sound like a prime candidate to try to, like, hash that out. I didn't even think about it. I mean, I thought about it, but I haven't begun structuring and organizing it. So if you and I believe Sister Angie is the one who agrees with you, if you guys want to get on a call with me later, or, you know, we can talk over the weekend, we can try to figure that out, and then you guys can be the ambassadors of the ambassador program. And it's like little things that we can do in individual communities. I want to get to Sister Angelique, and then I want to wrap this up. So, because I know we're running late, and this happens, right? So when there's a really good topic that comes to the floor, we can talk. So, you know, I can take a vote from everyone. If anyone wants to continue with the call, we can continue with the call. But I want to let Sister Angelique get her point in. Sister Rhonda, thank you for timing in.
Thank you.
All right. Hello, Sister.
Hi, just very briefly, thank you for hosting this conversation, first and foremost. I'm a guest, so I'm not a part of Black Wallets Matters at this point. That's not to say that I won't, but I really wanted to sort of see what a town hall was like and really what the ideas were. So this gave me a very good representation, I think, of the organization and where you're hoping to go in the future. This particular topic about whether it's a community or a population, one of the things that I thought, because I actually see the benefits and I understand both sides of how this particular topic is being viewed, but since you have such a large email list, had you thought about bringing some of these things forward to your email list and seeing if you can do maybe a Survey Monkey to get feedback from other people? I think it's lovely to have, you know, the smaller group that's on the calls participating, but if you could get maybe a larger segment of the population to give their response and kind of give you an idea versus, you know, I know this many people and they see themselves as part of the Black community versus, you know, I talk to other people and they don't ever talk about themselves in terms of a community, maybe open it up to a larger group through your email list. That might be a possibility to get more feedback and see, are you really, you know, on the right track, or is there maybe a different way we should be thinking about it?
Well, I mean, that is something that could be done. I'll be honest with you, this is the first time that something is something like this has actually been proposed. I have it in my notes that we need a specific designation. I had it in my beginning notes before, you know, when I was fleshing out like the blueprint thing, and I said that we needed a designation. And then it couldn't be one that could be deemed racially biased or whatever. It just had to be an organization in support of a specific group of people or a specific community. Those are the words that are used in the determination for a B Corporation, for the certification. And then again, like I said, the LGBT community, the Jewish community, they vote. They spend the money on their lobbyists, and they receive their government money with that designation. As far as I'm concerned, that's good enough for me. Every single person who comes to our – no, not every single person, but those people who come to our website, who interact with us, who come through the survey through the links on our post – it says, we're rebuilding the Black community. Are you interested? Do you want to help? Or, you know, something to that thing. And so it resonates with a lot of people. I understand what the sister is saying, and I want to – I don't really need that idea. I don't need that concept on my plate, to be honest with you. I'm being respectful and allowing everyone to weigh in on it But to be honest with you, I personally can't, I can't like really go start digging through books and looking through things again to see and then try to convince a whole group of people, hey, do you want to be called the black population or do you want to be called, you know, the black community? Personally, I can't do it because I have so many other things on my plate that I think are more important, which I think is basically just getting traction, getting more people on board. So we have 5,000 emails. We only had about 50, 60 people come on the call in total throughout this evening. So that'll give you the idea of the type of interaction or how, you know, how people actually feel motivated to even participate in what's going on. So, you know, and I know a lot of that has to do with time factors and so on and so forth, but you figure out of 5,000 people, you would have way more on a town hall meeting to discuss, you know, issues pertaining to problems in the black community or the black population and, you know, that. So, you know, to your point in terms of, you know, doing a survey, you know, because if we do say it's a black population, then that means we have to go out and convince a bunch of other people to use this new term, the black population. I have personally never seen it. I've never seen it.
That's the only reason why I kind of, and again, I understand there's probably 20 million things that need to get done, and at this point there's not enough hands to get it all done. But the thought of doing a Survey Monkey to 5,000 people, and again, it was just a thought. It may not be something you want to do for this, but chances are there are going to be, you know, varying opinions about things moving forward that you may want to open up to that larger group of people who have responded in some way to Black Wallets Matter, and get those views as well. And it would give you a larger representation and let you know if there are more than two or three people on a call that maybe have a very different view of the words that are being used or the base that's being built. So,
okay. All right. Yeah. I agree, though. The survey, we definitely have that. We definitely have that on the whiteboard. I try to be a little bit cautious in what I send out. So, you know, we have a sequence that goes out when people come aboard and we, you know, we point them to some of the things that's on the website. I try to give them a little bit more understanding of, you know, who I am and what my ideas and, you know, what I'm about through those emails. So, you know, that's definitely something. But mainly I like to get people to come on the town hall so that they can, like you said, you know, fill us out, see the level of conversations that we're having, and, you know, basically get an idea to see if this is a community or an organization that they want to be a part of.
Right.
All right?
Thank you.
So, sister, it is, okay, thank you for weighing in. And, Sister Pat, thank you for bringing that very interesting topic to the floor. I want to thank everyone. We're going to wrap this one up. It is 11:14. I want to thank everyone for coming in on the call. We have two callers that I wasn't able to catch, introduce themselves. Hold on for a minute. Caller from 708-265, area code. Brother, sister. Hello? Caller? Okay. So then we have another brother from brother or sister from 215-281. Brother or sister? Caller from 215? Hello? Your first name?
Hello.
Yes, how you doing?
Good. How was your
name? Yes, Brandon. Your first name, brother? Brother.
Brandon.
Another Brandon. Are you this? No, wait. Okay. No.
Oh, yeah. I'm another one. I'm not the first guy you spoke with.
Okay. Right. Okay. So, brother Brandon too. Oh, what's your last name, brother? What initial?
S.
Okay, brother Brandon S. All right. There we go. Okay. So for all our guests that were on the call, I want to just get a little feedback from everyone. In regards to, you know, what did you think about this town hall meeting? And if you have any final questions or concerns. So, Sister Pat, since your phone is unmuted, would you like to weigh in? What did you think?
I think everyone's input. I appreciate it, and I learned a whole lot tonight and about people's thoughts. I just want to reiterate that it's really, but when I say term, it's not about labeling. It's about a strategy rather than labeling. So regardless of how the term is being used, I agree with everybody that when we speak about labeling, that's something that is completely unnecessary. We don't need it. It's not a topic. But what I would like to actually express is the importance of the strategy. So within the black people or the black community, so that we can understand how we're going to go forward with creating implementing a real plan that's going to trickle all the way down to real life communities like the one in DeSoto, Texas, and other places in Texas, where we all can feel that, feel the ending result, feel the product. And so that is what I'm concerned about. So terminology on the inside is important, but how they perceive us on the outside or from the outside is not that important, unless it's all about respect and honor. That's important to me. But other than that, how they call us, whatever, that's not of importance to me. And that is what I want to agree with everyone else on. That is not important.
Okay, sister. All right, thank you. Thank you for your
for
your summary. Okay, so Sister Ange, can I get some feedback from you, sister?
Hello?
Yes.
Hi, I'm sorry I didn't get the question because she was.
No, it was just your feedback since you're a guest on the town hall. Just wanted to get some feedback from you.
I think that it was a pretty good discussion, and I think that it would be a good idea maybe if me, you, and Sister Patton speak separately. Like you offered a few sessions ago. I do think that moving forward that I'm not sure if Sister Patton is a member, but if I do become a member moving forward, I think that we have to be open to different ideas and different suggestions. Not saying that we always have to take them, but I think moving forward we have to be sensitive to different ideas, different suggestions, and understanding that all of us are different and we come from completely different places, completely different communities, and like all of these things. And though this is minute, so one thing that you said when you were speaking, and I didn't get a chance to speak again, but you said that this was minute. Something that may be minute to you is not always minute to other people. And so I think that we have to be careful in the kind of language that we use moving forward as well. But overall, I think that this is a good start because we do have a bunch of black people gathering to discuss issues that are important to our population.
Okay. Okay, sister. I agree. So I apologize, Sister Pat, if I came off as dismissive. I my to-do list of things that I want to move forward is very, very long, and it's just me. And also in regards to the input and the things that, you know, we want to do, I just want to say this for everyone on the call. The blueprint is our roadmap, right? So if you, because I don't know if you've ever tried to run an organization or do anything before, you can get lost in the woods or lost in the weeds if you do not stick to your blueprint or stick to your roadmap. So the blueprint is our roadmap. If in the process of recruitment, so we have some ideas with that, if we implement that, you know, I want to just be upfront, I most likely will not be the one leading that particular thing because I have to keep pushing the ball forward in regards to making things happen on the blueprint. So I, you know, I just wanted to let that, you know, just put that out there. I am open to ideas. Also, when we have these discussions, these town hall meetings, right? So we talk about the various problems in the Black community and possible solutions. But a lot of times it's so that we can look at viable solutions or other possible solutions. But we may not, with this particular organization, our main focus is on the poverty, the unemployment that affects single Black mothers, the police violence, and dealing with the poverty, the unemployment, and the police violence, right? That is what we are about. We feel that tackling those issues will have a trickle down effect to improve the culture, because when you have more money, you have more options, and if you have more options, you can live in different places, you can live in better neighborhoods, you can afford to put your child in more after school programs, or you know, just a better, you're just able to do a whole much better job in regards to your children. And if you're able to do that, then they are able to change the future generations of, you know, Black America, or the Black community, or the Black population, or the Black race. That's how I'm looking at it. So I just wanted to, you know, I just wanted to let you know. But I actually text both of you sisters to give you guys my number, and so we can, you know, speak behind the scenes in regards to putting things together, or, you know, speaking with me one-on-one in regards to your concerns. Okay?
Okay. Perfect. Thank you so much, Brother Luke.
Okay, sister. All right. Sister Linda. Hello, sister? Sister Linda? I see you're attempting to talk, but you're not hearing anything. Okay. She has no feedback. Let's see here. Sister June, feedback, sister? Sister June?
Yes, I didn't know I...
Yes. Hello? Yes.
Yeah, I didn't know I was in the queue, but I'm here.
No, you're not in the queue. We're wrapping up. I just wanted to get some feedback from you, sister, on your town, on your experience with the town hall. What did you think? Things like that.
All right. I did. I enjoyed the fact that, you know, we have different, you know, concepts, and I have a new appreciation for how we view things. I did want it to be more substantive as to what type of activities and actions that we're currently taking right now. But, you know, like you said, it's in the beginning stages, and I think I'll be attending another town hall. I think is it weekly, Brother Lee?
Yes, weekly, Thursdays at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Yeah. Right. I do believe I'll start a membership at the silver level, and, you know, just keep going along and being supportive.
Thank you so much, sister. I appreciate you, Sister Joan.
Absolutely.
All right. And so we have Sister Patrice. Sister Patrice, do you want to give us some feedback?
Sure. I everything I heard tonight, and I'm very interested so I can become a member.
Sister, I have to be honest with you, your phone is breaking. I can't really hear you.
What, can you hear me now?
Yeah, yes, I can. Okay.
I apologize for that. I was saying that I enjoyed every aspect of every conversation I heard tonight, and I'm very interested in finding out how to become a member. This is my first time on the call, but I'm sure it's not going to be my last.
Okay, excellent. Thank you, sister. So to become a member, you can just go to the website and then click the menu button, and then there is a link that says become a member, and then you can sign up at the silver level for 10, gold 25, or platinum at 50. Okay?
Okay. Thank you, Brother Luke.
Yep. Have a good one. Anyone else? So we had a few guests on. Sister Nvinga, do you want to weigh in? Hello, sister.
Hi, yes. I just wanted to state that I enjoyed the conversation tonight, and I totally agree with Sister Pat and Sister Angie. And basically, I think it was kind of drawn on the different words that were used. But basically what they were stating is, as a member, how does it affect the people around that I see on a daily basis? Uh-huh. And I understand, like, this is the beginning stages and that you want to put things, you said police brutality, poverty, and single parent or education.
Yeah.
No, so those are your main things that the money from the membership will be going to. So it will, basically, I wanted to know, is it who besides yourself, determines what city or what area is first picked? Is it in regards to social media and the things that we see on TV, or...
No,
to those different communities, or is it just, I don't know. I guess basically what I said, I agree with what she was stating into the strategy and the planning and the going forward and the end result. So that's what I wanted to say.
Okay, sister.
I enjoyed the conversation.
Okay. So if you can watch the blueprint.
Yes, I've watched it. I watched everything on your website,
Okay, so, right. So it's determined the place, the first place that we build the first place that we build that we do a business is going to be, the first place that we acquire a business is going to, correspond with government set-aside. So there are government set-asides for minority-owned businesses, and it depends on the availability of the business. So if we're able to buy a tire manufacturing plant somewhere in Georgia, then that's where we're going to start. You know, if the government says, okay, we have a minority set-aside there, if they say Virginia, if they say Philadelphia, or something like that, that's what's going to determine the first business, and then we're going to look at the nearest Black community there to try to start making an impact, because what we want to do is acquire the business, hire brothers and sisters from that particular area, and then in that business we want to create like a community resource center, some place for the children, so that the children can start getting like this new type of information, start getting this cultural enrichment. You know, so a lot of people will have a problem now, and they're saying, oh, you know, our children aren't learning what they're supposed to be learning in history. They're teaching, you know, they're teaching them a different version of the history. You know, I'm not mad at that. I'm like, well, what do you expect? You're asking someone else to teach your child. That's not their responsibility. It's our responsibility. So, you know, those are the determining factors. And, you know, like you said, we're at the beginning stages. So once we grow a little bit larger, there will be, you know, there will be counsel. We will be meeting physically at certain places, and we will be sitting down and discussing the various opportunities that are available to us. And, you know, those who are at the table will be able to weigh in regards to that. All right?
Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you for weighing in. All right. And who else do we – Sister Joy, did I get to you? Sister Joy? Hello, Sister Joy?
Oh, hello. I enjoyed the conversation. It really took me back to, like, my college days, going to an HBCU, and just being able to talk to people who are not necessarily like-minded, but we kind of share some of the same thought processes. And just really to hear just my people speak educated, it is just
so refreshing to me because what comes across my timeline, what I see on the news, what is on the internet is just like, whoa, man. Like, I feel like sometimes it's just me and my little friends that's like, okay, we don't act like that. We don't necessarily talk like that. So it was absolutely refreshing. I would like to know just pretty much, I'm ready to move, you know, and I get it. We're at the beginning stages, but I'm ready to really just move forward with the vision. I know we kind of maybe need to get a little bit more clarity on the vision, but I feel like it's pretty clear, but I guess I'm not using the right words, but that's my main thing, just ready to see what our next steps are going to be.
Okay. Well, again, well, I mean, for anyone who's our next step is to create I've been calling it, it's a proof concept. It's something
right.
to the Black community, and right. So it's the Black Wall Street Project, and we say, listen, this is what selfless brothers and sisters created for you. That's what it is. And so we don't need to ask people to become members. We don't need them to buy into the vision. We're able to let them worry about what's in it for them. So it's like, hey, you want to help? You want to learn how you can start a business? Do you want this type of education? Do you want these types of services? You buy them, that's it, and we just do what we're supposed to do on this side of the table. That's our next step. It's a proof element. So for everyone on the call who's saying, well, what do we do next? Last week we were talking about doing some social interaction and things like that. And I explained, you know, to especially some of the older members know that this organization sprouted from two other nonprofit organizations that I was associated with. And one is Wheelchairs Against Guns, and the other is COFA USA. So Wheelchairs Against Guns this past week had their first family day event. And last week we were saying, well, what can we do? What can we do to, you know, put our foot forward and show the community that we're doing something? So the objective was to get the kids off the streets for, I believe, 5 or 6 hours or what it was. And we had, Wheelchairs Against Guns, it teaches the children. We have these anti-violent workshops that teach the children the dangers of bullying, gangs, and gun violence. School is out. So we're like, okay, well, you know, we need to try to keep these kids off the streets. And so we had a video game tournament, a PS4, I believe, or Xbox tournament. Got the kids off the street for 4 or 5 hours. So for those from last week that were saying, well, what are we going to do? That is something that is already working. And if anyone wants to find out more about that and how we can take that model and move it up. So this happened in New York. So if someone wants to go and, you know, implement something like this in their local area to actually take action, we have the foundation of this, Black Lives Matter, in association with Wheelchairs Against Guns. Also, COFA USA, it works to stop the generational cycle of poverty with young women. So when the program started earlier in the year, we only had 2 girls enrolled in the program, and as the program progressed, we were able to help 10 girls. So we had 10 girls in the program. We were able to help them pull up their GPA, and we were, you know, trying to educate them, well, not trying, actually educated them about the importance of safe sex and abstinence and, you know, some of these other different things that they're going to encounter, the importance of, you know, planning for your future and, you know, waiting to have children and, you know, associating with the right people. And the founder of that organization, she's a PhD, and she also works with a child behaviorist. So I wanted to let you guys know that there are things that have already been put in motion prior to launching this organization. The problem with those two organizations, you know, working closely with them, they're not having the funding. They're not getting the funding. And so that's why this organization is focused on the fund. That's why this organization is focused on economic activity, because we can think of all of these lofty ideas, but nothing will actually happen unless we're able to have the finances to implement. So I just want everyone to know that. Okay? So I think that sums it up. Well, we got Brother Chris, Brother Jay. We have a few. Wow. Brother Mike. If you guys want to weigh in, Brother Chris, if you want to weigh in, press star 6. Brother Jay, if you want to weigh in, and Brother Mike, if you guys want to weigh in, if anyone wants to weigh in, press star 6. If not, I'm going to let everyone go because we already are 30 minutes past the hour. If you guys want to leave feedback, just press star 6. If no one wants to leave feedback, I'm going to unmute all the phones. And we can all say good. Oh, wait a minute. I have. Hold on. Wait. Where are you? Okay. So here we go. Wait a minute. I can't find my queue. Hold on for a minute. Who's in the queue? Okay. Here we go. All right, Brother Mike. Sister, I see you, sister. Just give me a second. Brother. Oh, did I have? Brother Mike, where are you?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yep. Okay. Got it, brother.
Well, I appreciate it. And I know we're getting long, and I'll just be real brief. I just want to let you know that I appreciated you and everyone else on the call for the information that they gave. I'm really, really impressed. I'm like what the other caller mentioned, that credible, professional, intelligent conversations about these matters are few and far between. And you do your thing. I can't say I learned a lot, and I appreciate the topic that you're talking about and what you're trying to do, even the differing points of view and things like that. I think if I could add anything, and I'm really, really wary of offering any type of suggestions or anything at this point, because I haven't signed up. Now, I'm going to sign up tomorrow and be a member, and next week I'll put something in your ear. But the purpose of this call is probably secondary to inform. Primary is probably to get more members from the guests, get them to sign up. And if that's the case, then build the vision more and ask for what you want. And that's it.
Yeah. you know, brother, I've been told that too. But a lot. So as the sister said, and that's a topic for another town hall. So having these types of conversations are far and few in between. And so I realize that a lot of brothers and sisters, they want to get on, and they need that psychological and intellectual air. They need that. They need the ability to vent. They need the ability to speak with, so the other sister said not like-minded, but actually it is. It's just that we don't normally do it together so often. And so I'm actually very happy that the sister brought an opposing idea to the floor, because that allowed us to do exactly what I said at the beginning of this conversation, which is to have a debate, to have an opposing view, and discuss it with some intelligence, and not remove the emotions and the name calling and everything else. And the sister was very gracious in receiving the additional information. Sister Joy was very courteous in checking me in regards to me, you know, being very flippant dealing with the sister's comment. I love it. I have no problem taking the constructive criticism, you know, and basically improving and being more aware of what it is, you know, that I need to do. And then I hope for everyone else on the call, I want everyone to understand that this is what it takes. We have to grow and build. As Brother Cujo said, we're not used to doing these things. And so we're all learning and we're stumbling and, you know, but we have to stick to the overall goal, which is to remember that we have to stay true to the cause and we have to keep pushing on. So,
yeah, you did a great job, and I'm not checking you at all, and I really appreciate Pat perspective, and and everybody was cordial, and you're right, there wasn't no name calling, no yelling or anything like that. I'm on board, you know, so all that was great. I appreciate that. And like I said, I'm not checking you at all.
No, I appreciate it. Yeah, thank you. I thank you, brother. And you are correct. We should, I get calls, or I get, you know, messages from current members, and like, you know, we need to drive more, we need to recruit more. I recognize that other need. I recognize that one of our first town hall conversations, it lasted like 5 or 6 hours, right?
Whoa.
People wanted this. Yeah, it did. It lasted like 5 or 6 hours because everyone was looking for someone or looking for some place to have like these types of conversations, and they weren't able to get them. So, you know, we also want to provide value, and we want to provide that opportunity. And then I believe that when guests come on and they see the way that we conduct ourselves, see the way that members conduct them, see the level of conversation that we're having, I think that will, you know, allow them to recognize whether this is the place for them or not, you know.
So I heard that.
All right. Thank you, Brother Mike. Thank you. And I am going to close this town hall because I appreciate everyone for sticking on. We had a few people leave, but we definitely have a lot of you guys who are new, who are sticking to the end. Brother Jay, Brother Chris, if you guys have nothing else to add, I'm going to unmute everyone's phone and we can say goodnight. So I'll give you 2 seconds. Brother Chris, Brother Jay, nothing? All right. And that is it. Hold on. Okay. Okay, everyone, you can say goodnight.
There you go.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.